Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Samaches. We begin about 10-15 lines down from the top at the two dots, Samaches Samad Aleph. And we quote the Mishnah, where it says, Me'emosai mitamim begodim. When the four Kohanim take the Sor Lashem remains and the Par of Yom Kippur, the remains, they took them on the intertwined poles and they brought it outside the camp to go and burn it. So the Tanakhama said they had to bring it outside all three camps, and at that point their Begodim or Metame were, whereas Rabbi Shimon said no, the Begodim become Tame only as soon as they actually light the fire and it catches on to most of the Behema, and then at that point in time the Kohanim involved with the Sreifa, their clothing becomes Tomei. So Gemara says the following Brisa, Tana Rabban. We learn in the Brisa that the Pasuk says, Yotzi al michutz lamachaneh l'sorfo. In regards to this power of Yom Kippur and the Sor Lashem, it says, you'll bring it al michutz lamachaneh, you'll take it outside the camp. So what does that mean? So again, the Pasuk says, you have to take it, Yotzi al michutz lamachaneh, without mentioning which machaneh it's talking about. And then later on it says, Vasori posam michabes bigodov, he has to clean his clothing, v'rachatz es bisaro b'mayim, v'achachin yo'al machaneh. Until then, he's tummy, he can't come back into the camp. So which machaneh are we talking about? So Gemara says, lahalon. Now what is that referring to? This lahalon, it's referring to the par helem davashot tzibor, and the special par that the Kohen Gadol brings if he makes a mistake, and he is incorrect, and instead of bringing the regular sor for a chata, so he brings a par, and this is called the par Kohen Gadol. Not to be confused with the par that the Kohen Gadol brings on Yom Kippur. There's the regular par of Yom Kippur, and then there's the par Kohen Gadol that he brings when he makes a mistake. And that's equivalent or similar to the par Helam Dover Shul Tzibor. So in regards to those two karbanos, the par Helam Dover Shul Tzibor and the par of the Kohen Gadol, both when their mistake is made, and they bring their special karbanos on behalf of all the Kais, on behalf of themselves, there it tells us, Atanosi Lehem Sholosh Machanos, that you have to bring the carbon outside to be burnt. These are permanent srofim. They're burnt outside. They're not burnt on the Mizbeach. They're burnt outside. And it's burnt outside all three camps. So too, in our pasuk, when it says, in regards to the par of Yom Kippur and the Sor Lashem, it says, you take it outside the machaneh, michutz lamachaneh, it means that you're also going to burn it outside all three machanos. But it only says, el michutz lamachaneh, v'kana ta'om atanose lehem machaneh achas. It seems that you're only doing one machaneh over here. So therefore, the Gemara says, imkein lo mar michutz lamachaneh. So why does it tell us over here, michutz lamachaneh, to come and teach us? Lo maloch to teach us, kiven sheyotza chutz lamachaneh achas, mitamim begodim. So the purpose over here isn't to tell us that you only bring it outside one machaneh. No, you have to bring it outside all three machanos. We make a hekesh between the par, the Kohen Gadol, the par el davar shel tzibor, and the par of Yom Kippur, and the Sor Lashem of Yom Kippur, so they all have to be burned outside all three machanos. So then why does it seem to say, el michutz lamachaneh, only one machaneh? So that goes in accord with the opinion of the Tanakhama, that the Kohanim that are involved in bringing it outside, they become tummy as soon as you leave that first machaneh. That's for the purposes of tumah, but not for the purposes of metame begodim. That is outside all three machanos. Now, how do we know that what I just said is true? How do we know? How do we know that in regard to the power of the Kohen Gadol and the power of Lovashel Tzibor, that they're in fact burned outside all three machanos? So this is based upon the darshting of the following psukim, as the Brisa tells us, the Tanya. It says in the Brisa as follows. It says, Behotzi es kol ha-par. You bring out the entire par. The pasuk tells us, Behotzi es kol ha-par el michutz la-machaneh el makom tohar el shefech ha-deshen. And those words are all going to be important. We're going to darshan all of them. So it says, you shall bring it out outside the camp. Now, what does it mean outside the camp? Chutz l'sholosh machanos. The Gemara darshans, it means outside all three camps. How do you know that? Atomer chutz l'sholosh machanos. You're telling me it means outside all three camps, but maybe not. Maybe it says, el chutz l'machaneh. Maybe, oeinu el chutz l'machaneh achas. Maybe it means only outside the Azara, outside the machaneh kahuna. And that's where you burn it, right outside the machaneh kahuna. So the Gemara says no. Kishato kishu omer bepara eda, when it tells us in regards to the par helam davar shel tzibor, that's the par of the eda of the helam davar shel tzibor, it says an extra word there, el michutz lamachaneh. It didn't have to tell us that. Shein talmud lomar el michutz lamachaneh. Why? Because shari kvar nemar, because in regards to that par, it says v'saraf oso kashesorah for the par rishon. You'll do the same thing to that as you did to the par of the Kohen Gadol. So I already know that the par of the Kohen Gadol is outside all three machanos. So why did it have to tell me over here? El michutz lamachaneh, seemingly an extra. So ma talmud lomar el michutz lamachaneh. What's the purpose of that? So li tin lo machaneh shnia. That's to tell me that it is a set outside a second camp, and that teaches us outside the machaneh levia too. Now we know they have to go outside the Machane Yisrael, that it's burned outside in the Beis HaSreifa, outside all three Machanos. So there we have extra words as well. Kisha Omer Michutz LaMachane, in regarding the Deshen, by Deshen, the Pasuk there tells us, Michutz LaMachane, El Makom Tor, El Shefech HaDeshen, V'Sarafo So Aloi Tzimboesh, El Shefech HaDeshen Yisrael. So it tells us there that it's already outside the Machane. Shein Talmud Lomar, you didn't have to tell me that. Shari Kvar Nemar El Shefech HaDeshen. I know that that's the place. So therefore, those unnecessary words are the third Machane. Ten lo Machane Shlisha. So that tells me that all of these parim, the par of the Kohen Gadol, the par of Helm Dov Shel Tzibur, the par of Yom Kippur, as well as the Sar Lashem, all are burnt outside all three Machanos. And one of them, according to this opinion, is to tell me that the Metami Begadim, as soon as they leave the first encampment, but the actual burning, that is done outside all three Machanos. Now this is great according to the Tanakhama of a Mishnah, but Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah said that in fact that you are going to become Tomei only at the point where the fire has involved or encompassed most of the animal. So according to Rabbi Shimon, he doesn't agree that you're Tomei as soon as you bring it outside the first Machane. He says you're not Tomei. The Kohanim involved in the burning are only Tomei when the fire encompasses most of the animal. So what does he do with the first Michutz L'Machane? So he needs it for the following. He needs to tell us the following din. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Namar Kan Michutz L'Machane. It says in regards to the Yom Kippur Par and the Sar Lashem, it says Michutz L'Machane. That's this extra word. And it also says in regards to the Parah Aduma, it says the words Michutz L'Machane. That's this week's parsha. Parsha's Chukas. It says Nesatim Osa El Elazor HaKohen V'Yotzi Osa Michutz L'Machane V'Shochad Osa L'Fanav. So now we're introducing the Parah Aduma as well. So therefore, it tells me by the Parah Aduma Chutz L'Machane Man Kan Chutz L'Shalosh Machanos. Just like by Yom Kippur, it has to be outside all three camps. So Af L'Halon Chutz L'Shalosh Machanos. So too, the Parah Aduma is shechted and it's burned outside all three camps. And here he needs the words Michutz L'Machane to tell us back the other way as well. Umal Halon by the Parah Aduma, it's Bedavka shechted B'Mizrach HaShirushalayim. It's shechted on Har HaZeisim, and the burning is on Har HaZeisim, which is to the east of the Har HaBayis. They're looking down from Har HaZeisim to the Har HaBayis, which you're looking westward, meaning that the Har HaZeisim, the place where the Parah Aduma was burnt, was east. So Mala Halam B'Mizrach HaYerushalayim, just like it was slaughtered and burnt over there to the east of Yerushalayim, to the east of the Har HaBayis. So too, in regards to the Parah of Yom Kippur and the Sar Lashem of Yom Kippur, they're burnt Avkan B'Mizrach HaYerushalayim. That's what he needs in Michutz L'Machane, to have this connection between the Parah Aduma's location of burning, which is east of the Har HaBayis. So too, the location for the burning, the Beis HaSreifa of the Parah of the Parah of Yom Kippur and the Sar Lashem of Yom Kippur, they're also burned Mizrach HaYerushalayim. So that's great according to Rabbi Shimon. According to the Chachamim, they don't have this drasha, so where is the Beis HaSreifa? It's outside all three Machanos, but where is it? Rabbanan, Hechel Sarflu, where were the Chachamim, the Tanakama, where would they say that it's burned? They have no raya that should be burned, like with the Parah Aduma and Mizrach HaYerushalayim. So where does the Tanakama and the Chacham hold that it should be burned? So the Gemara says, Kei L'Tanya, that's a different brisa. Hechel Nisrafim, where are all of these Parim HaNisrafim? All of these parim, the par of Helm Shel Tzibur, the par of the Kohen Gadol for a sin, or the par of Yom Kippur, or the Sar Lashem, where are they burned? So we turn it to Samaches Amibes, Litzvona Shel Yerushalayim. They're burned outside all three Machanos to the north of Yerushalayim. Rashi explains, Shekol Maisi Chatos Bitzofon, just like the other aspects, the Chatos has to be shechted, the Kabbalah has to be done in the northern part of the Azara. So to Mistama, the Sreifa, albeit it's outside all three Machanos, should be Litzvona Shel Yerushalayim. The chutz l'shalosh machnos, but outside all three machnos. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama, the Chachamim. Rav Yossi disagrees. Rav Yossi Omer, Abeis HaDeshen Nisrofim. He says, no, it's burned in the same place where you have the burning of the ashes, in the Beis HaDeshen. That's where the Purim HaNisrofim are burnt as well. Now, we don't have a specific location for that, but Rashi points out, Tzorech Sheyakdim L'shom Deshen HaMizbeach, that you can only burn these Purim if there's already Deshen there from the Trumas HaDeshen. Sheinikra Kodem Lekach Mokom Shefach HaDeshen. It has to already have the status of being the place where they burned the Deshen. And that implies Michal the Tanakama Lo Tzorach. The Tanakama doesn't hold that it has to be in the place of the Sreifas HaDeshen. And it could be to the north, as he darshened out. Now, the Gemara says, who is the Tanakam? Who are the Chachamim that don't hold this drasha? Amar Rava, man Tana, who is the Tanakam? The Chacham over here, the polyglot of Yossi, that argue with Yossi and say that it's not the Beis HaDeshen. So this is Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Who, this is the opinion of Eliezer ben Yaakov. What did Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov say? The Tanya. The Pasuk tells us, El Shevech HaDeshen Yisarev. The full pasuk says that the coin Votzia is called a par, it'll be chutzabachanem. We had this a number of times. Amokom tor al shefech hadeshen, the saraf oso al etzim boesh al shefech hadeshen yisarif. So, this first opinion in this price, it says it has to be bedavka in the place where the deshen is placed. That would be equivalent to the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. And shehei l'shom deshen. It has to be deshen put there, and then you go burn the parm there. But that's not the opinion of the Chachamim, and now we see Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds like this Chachamim. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov disagrees. Omer, shehei mekomo mishupach. He says, no, yedarshin shevech hadeshen, not to be the same place, but to teach us that the place where you go and burn it, where you pour it out, should not be flat. It must be on a slant. Shehei mekomo mishupach. It should be on a slant. And therefore, it's not used to teaching me that there has to be deshen there when you go and put the parim and israfim over there. And therefore, this is the opinion of the Tanakama, who says there's nothing to do with the shevech hadeshen place, and that's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Now, that's what Rava said. Abai disagrees. Amalei Abai, he says, who says? Where do you learn out that he argues with the Tanakama? Maybe the Dilma, they're only arguing about b'mekomo mishupachu depligi. They're only arguing about, does it have to be flat or can it be slanty? That's the machlokas of here between the Chachamim and the Tanakama and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. But maybe, in fact, they both agree that it should be at the makom of the shevech hadeshen. So that's not a raya that the Tanakama of the first price that we had arguing with Rav Yossi disagrees that it's in the Beis HaDeshen, maybe he agrees with the Beis HaDeshen, and it's not to the north, so that's not necessarily the opinion. So therefore, you can't bring me a right from there. According to Abaye, we don't know who the author of the first Tana, the first opinion in the Brisa that argues with Rav Yossi, who that author is. Then the Gemara tells us another Brisa, Tana Rabbanan. The Brisa says, V'hasoreif. The whole pasuk is Vasarev Osom Yechabes Bigodov Ruchatzis Sorvamayim Vachrekin Yevolamachane. So that pasuk, it says Vasarev, that implies Hasarev Metame Begodim. Only the one who actually does the burning is Metame Begodim, below Hametzis Esor, and not anybody else that's involved in lighting the fire. Only the people that actually go burn the animal, but not somebody that lit the fire. Likewise, below Hametzis Esamarocha. Likewise, the people are not Matami Begodim if they just set up the pyre, if they set up all the wood on the place that they're going to burn the animal, so they're also not going to be Matami Begodim. Who is the actual Soreif? Ve'ei Zehu HaSoreif. Who is the one that's considered the Soreif? Ze'a Masayeya B'Shas Sreifa. Those are the people that are involved in making sure that the animal burns during the Shas Sreifa. Anybody that's involved in that, they would in fact be Matami Begodim. I might have thought that includes Yochel Af Mishenasu Efer, that would include even after it became Efer, after it turned to ashes, and somebody's still poking the fire and burning the ashes even further, that they would also be Metamin Begodov. They should also be Metamin Begodov. So no, the Pasuk tells me, Talmud Lomar, Osam. The Pasuk says, Hasareif Osam, only the one who actually does the burning. Osam metamin begodim, however, below, but not mishenas wafer. Once it's already afer, it's no longer considered osam. Those people that are just turning the ashes over and burning it a little bit more, when it's already afer, they're not below mishenas wafer metamin begodim. They're not considered metamin begodim. Along comes where Elazar of Shimon, he disagrees. Omer, hapar metame. Only the people that actually go and burn the par are going to become tamei begodim, but the ones that are nita habasar, if you're just turning the meat over after it's already been mostly consumed by the fire, ain't matami begodim. They're not going to be matami begodim. So is there any real difference between these two opinions? The Tanakama says that it's not turning over the afer. Those aren't matami begodim. And Rulazav and Rishimo, he says that it's only those that are burning the actual meat. But once it's already been burned, nita habasar, so ain't matami begodim. Is there any difference between ashes and nita habasar? May be nayu, what's the difference between them? So he says, yeah, ika benayu, there is a difference between them. The shavya charucha, that depends how much the meat is burned. As Rashi tells us, the heve nita habasar. When the basar is singed, it's called nita habasar. The efer, however, ashes miu lo havu yet. They're not yet called ashes. So there's a difference between burnt meat, singed meat, and ashes. According to the Tanakama, you're metamim ad shiyasu efer. Anybody involved in the burning process before it reaches the ashes stage, that's called basareif osam, the osam karina bay. However, according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, that is not considered already that it's ashes that you're no longer tamei. He says once it's shavia charucha, if it's reached the burn stage, then it's no longer mitamei. Lo mitamei, the lo par mikri. It's no longer called a par. Now it's called burnt meat. And therefore, that's the nafkamina, that's the ikar beinayu between the opinion of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, who says once it reaches the burnt stage, it's no longer going to be mitamei begadim. And the Tanakhama says no, it has to reach even a later stage of becoming ashes. Only when it's ashes is it no longer mitamei begadim. Now we go to the next mission, which continues with the avoda of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. So now, Amrul the Kohen Gadol, after the Saril Azazel has been taken out, so they have to wait a certain amount of time until they know that it's definitely in the Midbar. So that's what our mission is going to tell us. They would tell the Kohen Gadol, Amrul the Kohen Gadol, Higia Saril Midbar. We know that the Saril Azazel has reached the Midbar. Now it doesn't mean it reached the Tzuk. It reached the Midbar, and therefore you can continue doing the rest of the avoda of the day. You're not allowed to do the avoda of the day until the Saril Azazel has reached the Midbar, but now we know that it's reached the Midbar. The Gemara will tell us, how do we know that it's reached the Midbar? They didn't have cell phones, they didn't have instant communication, so how do they know? And in fact, the Mishnah tells us right now, how do they know that the Saril reached the Midbar? So, the Gemara tells us they used to use a fancy flag system of notification. Dear Kos, Hoyu Osin, they set up people known as dirkos. Rashi explains, Bnei Adam Omdim Yushalayim Letzuk. They had people in the stomach standing by the booths that are going from Yushalayim all the way out to the Tzuk, like we learned in yesterday's Mishnah, and they would be able to see one another. Bechtei Shiire Ze Simon Shozeh. So when the Ish Iti reached with the Saril Azazel a certain point, so then they would wave their flags. The earlier booth would see them and they would start waving their flags. The early booth would see them and they would start waving their flags until finally the people closest to Yerushalayim saw and they would tell the people in Yerushalayim that yes, the Ish Iti has reached a place. This is analogous or similar to the Kiddush HaChodesh when they would go light the fires and from mountaintop to mountaintop they would notify everybody that there was Kiddush HaChodesh, that the witnesses came and that Rosh Chodesh had been declared. And they would wave their flags, Rashi tells us, Aminipin Osam, Asmuchel Midbar Besudarin, they would wave their flags, the kerchiefs that they had, and the Zeh Asomuch Loroa, and the ones earlier in the path would see them, Uminiv Gamu, they would wave their flags, and everybody would know, and these are the Dirkos. And Rashi says, a foreign language word for that obviously they knew what it meant for what these Dirkos were, flagmen, we would call it flagmen. So far, they would wave the flags, Uminifim Besudarin, they would wave their flags, V'yodin Shigia Soli Midbar. And then the people in the Azara would be able to tell the Kohen Gadol, yes, the Ish Iti has reached the Midbar. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, there's a better Simon. Hello, Simon Gadol Hoyalem. They had a much more reliable sign. What was that? Yushalayim V'adbeis Chidudo. Now that's the Girsa that we have. In the Yerushalmi, the Mishnah has Adbeis Choron, a certain place. In any event, this certain place, either Beis Chidudo, this sharp point, or this Beis Choron, whatever it was, they knew where it was a distance from the walls of Yerushalayim of Shlosha Milim, a 3-mil distance. So what would happen? The Yakir Yerushalayim would walk the first mil from the walls of Yerushalayim, Holichim Mil, they would walk a mil, then V'chozim Mil, they would return back a mil, and then V'shoin K'dei Mil, they would walk around the length of time it takes to walk another mil. So there would be this 3-mil distance that they would walk. Meanwhile, the Ishiti walked the first mil with them, then he walked the second mil, and then he walked the third mil, and that would now be, by definition, he would be out in the Midbar. V'yodin Shigia Sole Midbar. And therefore, this was an airtight knowledge that the Ish Iti had reached the Midbar based upon how long it took them to walk, so they could rely that it would take him the same amount of time to walk. And therefore, the Kohen Gadol would continue doing the rest of the Avoda. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, now, the Vilna Gaon is not goreis any of this here. He says that the whitening of the red bindle, the Lashon Zahoris, didn't occur until they pushed the Saril Azazel off the cliff. So this is way before that happened, so the Vilna Gaon is not goris this. But we are goris this. Rabbi Shmuel says, Palo Simon Acher Hoyolahem. There's even a better simon, a better sign that they knew that the Ishiti had reached it, because this opinion holds that the red bindle would turn to white as soon as they reached the midbar of Klai Yisrael was good. So he says, this Lashon Shazaharis Hayakashra Pisco Shalhecha. And they, as we had mentioned in the previous Mishnahs, either tied it to the outside of the Hechel, or they tied it to the inside of the Hechel, the outside of the Ulam, or the inside of the Ulam. And Kishagia Sar Lemidbar, and as soon as the Sar reached the Midbar, so according to this opinion, the bindle would turn white. based upon the pasuk, yuchatechem chashanim kashel yabin, like we mentioned many times, and therefore haya losho malbin, as the pasuk says, shenemar im yuchatechem kashanim kashel yabinu. So therefore, he says you have even a more perfect sign that they reached the area where the Yishiti had to go in the Midbar, and now the Kohen Gadol can do the rest of the Avodah. So we have the first opinion that says with the flagman, then we have the second opinion that said you would just calculate the walking time by the Yakir Yishalayim, they would walk a distance of 1 mil, then come back a mil, and then walk about for a mil, and then they knew that the Yishiti had reached a significant distance, that they can continue the Avodah. Or the third opinion, where Yishmol, that the red bindle would turn white, and therefore, in this situation, they knew somehow through one of these three methods, and the Kohen Gadol continued doing the rest of the Avodah. Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Shema Mino, Beis Chidudo, this place known as Beis Chidudo, Bamidbar Kaima, this place was already in the Midbar, because, V'al Komashvalon, the Kosova Rabbi Yehuda, that this opinion goes like Rabbi Yehuda, Kivan Shagia, Sorla Midbar, Naseis Mitzvoso, that while you're supposed to go and push the Sorla Azazel off the cliff, you fulfilled at least part of the mitzvah by bringing it out to the Midbar. That's the Sar Mishtalech, who's Mishtalech from Yerushalayim to the Midbar. That's part of the mitzvah. And at that point in time, the Kohen Gadol is now allowed to continue the rest of the Avodah of Yom Kippur. This concludes the beautiful sixth parak. Hadron Alecha Shnei Siri, Hadron Alecha Shnei Siri, Hadron Alecha Shnei Siri. And we continue starting the beautiful seventh parak of Yuma. Only one more parak to go. The seventh parak deals with the last ideas of the Avodah of Yom Kippur, and the eighth parak deals with a lot of very important medical halachos. So we begin the seventh parak. Again, we're now continuing the Avodah after the Kohen Gadol knows that the Ishiti has reached the Midbar. That's what we just left off. So now, Balo Kohen Gadol Likros. The Kohen Gadol continues his Avodah, which is to read various psukim, various parashios in the Torah dealing with Yom Kippur, and he has an obligation to do this. We'll learn in the Gemara that this is done outside of the Azara. He leaves the Azara and goes into the Ezras Noshim, which is right outside Shar Niknar. He enters into the Ezras Noshim, and he goes over there, and he begins reading the following psukim. Now, what is he dressed in at this point in time? Imrat Solikros Bebig De Boots. Remember, he was wearing the white garments because he had just finished doing the last avoda inside Lifnai V'Lifnim. So if he wishes to, Imrat Solikros Bebig De Boots, he's wearing the four linen garments, curry, he's allowed to go read these psukim. If he doesn't wish to, Vim Lav. So according to many, he's not allowed to switch to his golden garments because he's not doing an avoda right now. Some say no, he could switch into the golden garments if he wanted to. But if he wishes to, Vim Lav, Kore be itstilis lava mishalo. He can go wear his own white garments. Remember, we learned early in the Masechta that oftentimes the mother of the Kohen Gadol would demonstrate her ahava and special skills and make special white garments for her son, the Kohen Gadol. So he could put on this itzlis lavan, this white garment, if he wished to. Now, he would then go get a Sefer Torah, but he wanted to glorify and be mefarsim this even more than normal, so they would have a whole procession over here. And the chazan of the Knesset, the gabbai in charge of the Beit HaKnesset, so to say, of the Azara, he would take no-tell Sefer Torah, he would go take the Sefer Torah from the Orin where they kept it, and benos the Larosh HaKnesset, and he would give it to the head of that Beit HaKnesset. Rashi says the Chazan HaKnesses is like the Shamish, he's the sextant, he's the one who takes care of the Gabbai, and the Rosh HaKnesses, he's the one that gives out all the Kibudim. Apiv, Nechtochin Tzorche HaKnesses, he decides all the needs of the Beis HaKnesses to be taken care of, and also Mimatir, Miporis HaShma, who would be the one that gets the Torah, who would be the one that would be the Chazan, Miovel of Neateva, people get the Aliyahs, etc. So that was his job. And he would take the Sefer Torah from the Shamish, from the Chazan of the Beis HaKnesses, V'Rosh HaKnesses, Nosel Liskan, and he would go give it to the Skan Kohen Gadol, the one who was appointed to take over if Chas V'Shalom, some psul happened to the Kohen Gadol. V'Skan, Nosel Kohen Gadol, again, to make glorifying more the procedure by having so many people involved, it makes a greater cover, B'Rov HaMandras Melech, so he would then give the Sefer Torah to the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, Omei to Makabal, and the Kohen Gadol would have to stand up, accept the Sefer Torah, makabel it, and then he would open it up and he would read the various parashios dealing with Yom Kippur. The Korah, he would read from Achrimos, and he would read all the way from Achrimos at the beginning until V'ach Be'asor Lachodesh. If you're looking at the Prakim, he first reads Perek Tes Zayin, he reads Psukim Aleph through Lamed Dalet, and then he skips a little bit since it's a short distance he can mish in between and quickly get to Perek Chav Gimel, and he reads Psukim Chav Vav through Lamed Beis. And all the first Psukim in Perek Tez Zayin, they deal with the Avodah of Yom Kippur, and the psukim in Perek Chav Gimel, they deal with some of the halachos of Mulacha on Yom Kippur and the tainus of Yom Kippur. But now the next part that he has to read, that's already going to be much further away. And therefore, he can't mish, it will be a tircha de tzibur, to go and roll the Sefer Torah all the way to there. So therefore, he rolls the Sefer Torah up, begola Sefer Torah, umenicha b'cheko, and he puts it in his chest, and he, in endearment, he holds the Sefer Torah. The omen, he says, there's a lot more written over here. Yosef, mimashe karasi lefneichem, kosef kan. Don't think that this is a Sefer Torah apostle, and I'm only going to say to you stuff by heart, because it's not written here. No, all of this is written here, but it would be a tircha de tzibur to go and mish all the way to Bamidbar to read the parts inside. So therefore, I read it to you outside. So ubeh sor, shebechomesh ha-pekudim kori al-peh. And therefore, he goes and reads the psukim from Pinchas, which deal with Yom Kippur, and the musaf offering of Yom Kippur, he goes and reads them kori al-peh. And he makes then the brachos, at the conclusion of this, he makes the brachos after the laning, after the aliyah. Now, we normally only make nosein ha-torah, we make that's the one bracha that we normally make. But here he makes a whole bunch of additional brachos in addition to that. The Teferis Yisrael says we don't lift the bracha beforehand, but of course you make a bracha beforehand as well. And we're really listing here the special extra brachos at the end. There are no additional special brachos at the beginning that he makes before the lading, so that's why it doesn't mention that. So he makes the brachos afterwards, umavarach shmona brachos. He makes eight brachos. Normally only make one bracha after the laning. So he makes that one bracha too, ala Torah. That's Ashenos Alana Teras Emes. He has to make that bracha as well. Then he makes a special bracha of the Alhu Avoda for the special Avoda of Yom Kippur, all the Kabbanos, the extra Kabbanos that are brought in Yom Kippur. Rashi says that this bracha al avoda is ritzei be'amcho Yisrael v'teiratzo ha'avoda bedvir be'secha, that all of this avoda that we're doing should be accepted by you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she'ozcho levadcho b'yira na'avoda, that we only serve you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with great awe and fear, and that's the bracha called the avoda. And then we make a bracha al hoda. This bracha, Rashi tells us, v'al hoda is modim anachnu loch, until ad hatov l'cha l'hodos, until the end of the bracha, toshucho l'cha ne'el l'hodos. Now, Rashi also continues and he says, Al Huavoda Mivarach Bishul Huavoda Sha'avad. So the bracha al avoda was for the things that he already did. But Hoda, this bracha of Modim, the third bracha, that's Smuchali Avoda, Dirsiv, Soveach Toda, Yichabdonini. So Achar Avoda, Toda, Vyoda. So you have to make a bracha after the Avoda, and that's thanking Kodesh Baruch Hu. So that's the first three brachas. The first bracha is for the actual Torah itself, then the bracha for the Avoda, the various kabbanos that he brought, and then Hoda, thanking Kodesh Baruch Hu. So those are the first three brachos. And then the next one is Amuchilas Ovon. Rashi explains, this bracha is mechol lavanusin b'yom kippur mezeh v'chule, that we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forgive us for our sins, and this bracha goes until ad melech mochev v'soleach lavanusin v'chule, similar to the bracha that we make in the Yom Kippur Musaf davening. So that's called mechilas avon. Then he makes the bracha v'al hamikdash b'fnei atzmo. Now, the Vilna Gaon is not goris this bracha by itself, because we have the girsa v'al Hamikdash bifnei atzmo, and the Vilna Gaon's girsa is v'al hamikdash v'al kohanim v'al yisrael bifnei atzmon. So there are different girsos over here. We'll keep the girsa that we have. So Rashi explains al hamikdash mispalel al hamikdash, that there's a bracha for the base hamikdash v'chosem baruch shebochar b'mikdash, and that's the conclusion of this bracha al hamikdash. Then we have the girsa v'al yisrael bifnei atzmon. He makes a separate bracha on Yisrael, on Klal Yisrael, and he makes a separate bracha v'Yushalayim b'fnei atzma, and many are not goris this bracha at all, such as the Bach in Oz Gimel tells us v'Yushalayim b'fnei atzma nimchak v'tevos b'fnei atzma mukofim, and he says that the words b'fnei atzma in parentheses, they go on the others. In any event, some are not goris this bracha v'Yushalayim b'fnei atzma. The next one is v'Ala Kohanim b'fnei atzma. Rashi says this is mispala al konim v'chosein baruch shabach ha'bizaru shal Aaron v'chein al Yisrael. A similar bracha is made for Yisrael as well. And then finally he concludes and he says v'Al shar ha'tfila, and for the rest of the tfila. And Rashi says the Gemara will explain what this is, mefarish b'Gemara. So these are the eight brachos that he makes after the aliyah, after the laning that he did. Mishnah continues and says, Haroe Kohen Gadol Shu Kore, if somebody is in the Azara, or actually the Ezras Noshim, at the time that the Kohen Gadol is reading this, so obviously, Ein Haroe Par Visari Nisrafim. He can't be out with the people that are going to burn the par and the sar in the Beis HaSreifa. Again, we just discussed earlier in the shiur where exactly that was, to the east of Yerushalayim, to the north of Yerushalayim, outside the three machanos. You can't be in two places at the same time. These are going on simultaneously. So if you're inside the Ezras Noshim and you're hearing the Kohen Gadol read from the Sefer Torah, you obviously cannot be where they're burning the par and the sar of Yom Kippur. Par, the sar, HaNisrafim. And if you're there, Varo, par, v'sar, Nisrafim, if you're over there in the base, HaSreifa, obviously, Ein Aro, Kohen Gadol, Shukore. You obviously can't hear the Kohen Gadol and see the Kohen Gadol when he's reading from the Sefer Torah. Why? V'lobim Neishen Arosha, not because it's not halakhically allowed, it's just because they're occurring simultaneously. Eloshoi Soderech HaChokah. They're a distance apart from each other. The base, HaSreifa, is outside all three machanos, and this is inside the Harabayis, inside the Ezras Noshim. And therefore, they're derech chokah, they're a difference apart. Umlechishteim shavikiachas, and they're all being done at the same time. So obviously, you can't see both. So the people that saw one obviously couldn't be at the other. Now the Gemara starts and says, "Midiktoni be itzlis lava mishalo." Since we said that if the Kohen Gadol wishes to, he doesn't have to change out of the white big day kahuna that he wore all day. He could read the Torah from that. But if he wishes to, he's allowed to go and switch into his own private itzlis lava, his own white personal garment. So it must be, the Gemara says, "Mechwal the kriya lava vodhi." It must be that this isn't considered an avoda. If it's an avoda, he would obviously have to wear real big day kahuna. And while his white garment is very, very nice, this itzlis lavan is beautiful, very expensive, very nice, but it's not big day avoda. So obviously, the reading from the Torah, the Gemara wants to suggest, is not an avoda. V'ketani, because it says, imratza likros v'vig debutz kare. If he wishes to, he's allowed to go wear the big day kahuna. Shamis mina. We learn from over here that big day kahuna nitnu lehonos behen. That if the kohen wishes to, the Kohen Gadol is allowed to get hana from wearing the big day kahuna, even though he's not doing an avoda. They're not given, it's not a problem with me'ila, they're not given only for the avoda. The Kohen Gadol is allowed to continue wearing them even when he's not doing an avoda. As proof over here, that if he wishes to, he's allowed to go and wear them while he's doing the laning, and this laning is not an avoda, because if he doesn't want to wear those, he could wear a regular, non-big day kahuna, the itz the litzlavan. Mor says, maybe not. Dilma shiny kriya. No, you could argue that the laning is different. The tzorech avodahi, it is necessary for the avoda. You are mechuyev to do this laning, albeit it's not an avoda, but it's, so to say, for the avoda. Since it's part of the avoda of the day, so even though it technically isn't a full-fledged avoda, so therefore you can't bring me a raya that there's no problem the Kohen Gadol wearing the big day boots, is wearing his white garments while he's doing this, because this is a shtickle avoda, it's a little bit avoda, and you can't tell me that because he's allowed to do this, he can do whatever he wants in the white garments. No, you can only do a tzorich avoda, even if it's not a real avoda, but since it's a tzorich avoda, that's allowed to be done. Gemara says, this was a separate question, the Ibarla, and we asked the question, are the big day kahuna nidu lehonus behen, or lo nidu lehonus behen? Is a kohen allowed to wear the big day kahuna for his own personal usage or not? Is he only allowed to wear them for the avoda, and then as soon as he's done with the avoda, he must take them off immediately? Now, lo nidu torah malachai sharis. Torah wasn't given to Malachi Shoris. So the minute he finishes the avoda, let's say on top of his bach, he has to instantly unclothe over there. No, he's allowed to walk back to the place where he changes his clothing, but he should do it right away and not delay and not tarry and not do anything else. So that's the question. Are the big day kahuna allowed to be used for your own personal usage? Or no, you're not allowed to use it for your own personal usage, and you must get out of them as soon as you're finishing the avoda, as soon as you can. So where it says, let's bring a raya, Toshma, lo yu yishenim b'vig day kodesh. We have the Mishnah in Talmud that tells us that the Kohanim wouldn't sleep in the big day kodesh. However, that implies that shina hu delo ha-mechalachli, that they can't sleep in it, but that implies that they're allowed to eat in it. Now, one could argue that the eating is not an avoda, and therefore you see that the Kohanim are allowed to get henah from the big day kahuna. Where it says, no, that's also like a tzorech of the avoda. Because dilma shani achila, you could argue that eating is different. Sleeping, that's not a tzorech of the avoda, so you can't sleep in it. But you could argue that eating is a tzorech of the avoda. Because the tzorech avoda, he kiditanya, like we learned in the Braisa, that the pasuk tells us that the kohanim are obligated to go and eat the korbanos. V'ochlosom asher kupar bohem. That their eating also provides a kapara for the balim that brought that korban. So this is a tzorich of the avoda. Their eating, so to say, brings about a kapara for the balim. So therefore, you can't bring me a raya one way or the other, whether eating, the fact that the kohanim are allowed to eat, is demonstrating that you're allowed to get hanor from the big day kahuna. So Gemara says, okay, so here's the raya. Sheina hu delo. You're right. You're not allowed to sleep in them because that would be hana. And you're not allowed to get hana from the bidiguna. Ho haluche mahalche. But you are allowed to go take a walk. You're not mechuyif to get out of them right away. You see that the big de kahuna are nit nulei hanos behem. That they're not mechuyif to get out of the big de kahuna the first second that they can. From the fact that they're allowed to walk. Okay, you can't sleep in them, but you're allowed to walk in them. So therefore, this is considered that you're allowed to get hana from them. Mor says again, no. Bidinu da luchi namilo. In fact, you wouldn't be allowed to go and walk in them. That technically would be getting hana from them. However, and here we turn to Samach Tes Omer Aleph. The reason that this is brought down is because of the seifa of this brisa. The seifa, it's tricha le. What does it say in the seifa? The seifa says, poshtin umekaplin umenichim tachas rosheyim. That they didn't sleep in them, but they would put them right next to their heads. They would use them sort of like a pillow. Umenichim tachas rosheyim. So clearly, you see from here, that it's only sleeping in them that you're not allowed to do, but you are allowed to go and put them next to your head and sleep on them. As Rashi says, Sheino de Naka, why does it tell us you can't sleep in them? Mishum de boy lashmina, because it has to tell me, Shemuta litnon tachas rashem, they can use as a pillow. However, v'su lo ichpatlon im yafiach me'achas shaposhta. We're not concerned over here if a person were to go and pass gas in them after he took them off. Now, I'm not sure why there's a two dots over here, and we'll just continue reading for now. So it says, Poshtin, Makaplin, Menichin, Osam, Tachas, Rosheim. So you see from this, Shamas, Mina, Big De Kahuna, Nitulin, Honest Ben. So let's say this is a perfectly good Raya the other way, that you see that you are allowed to get Hana from the Big De Kahuna. So the Gemara says, Amar Papa, no. Lo Tema, Tachas, Rosheim. Don't say it means underneath the head using it as a pillow. El Ema, Kineged, Rosheim. It means right next to the heads, but you're not actually allowed to go and get Hana from it. This is going to lead us into an additional discussion about where you put tefillin, but this is a good break point for us to stop, and with this we conclude today's share.